Welcome to this week's edition of An Organic Conversation, a show about food, ecology, stories from the land, recipes, nature, sustainability, interconnectedness, relationships, and life itself. We're your hosts, Helge Hellberg,
Mark Mulcahy,
and Sita Rani Palomar.
I've been around the world and I try to find organic. And organic, we found this week, is about what's going on in countries everywhere and how the organic food movement is different from the one here in the United States. Emerging trends, organic around the globe. Fantastic story today. And we will be talking about Biofach, the largest organic food conference in the world. And I can't wait here on An Organic Conversation today. And how appropriate to talk about organic around the world, because this is the 200th episode of An Organic Conversation.
Of us being in the studio together?
Unbelievable. 200 episodes, guys.
200 episodes. That is amazing. Yes, I'm absolutely... Actually, it's hard for me to actually believe.
Yeah, me too.
200 hours. I wonder what that equates to. I should have come with some statistics. 200 hours of listening to our voices.
200 hours on the air, meaning, you know, 5-6 hours of prep time for each show. We're talking thousands and thousands of days spent. No, but we have been on the air for 4 years almost. Today is our 200th episode, and what a wonderful ride it has been. Thank you, guys.
Well, yes. I want to say thank you because you started this whole thing and you invited me on. And then we were lucky enough to stumble upon Sita and have her come join us. And then Kristen joined us. And then, I mean, what an amazing team
our
that we have.
Associate producer.
It's so great.
Robert as technical engineer.
And Robert, the Dread Pirate, is our technical engineer. So fantastic. Yes.
Well, and I want to thank our listeners, because we wouldn't have been able to spend 200 hours talking about this topic that we love so much if we didn't have such support from people
and
who
the interest
are interested.
And the comments and the feedback. And yes, the show started really just to tell the story from the land. A story that, unfortunately, in normal media is not really being told all that often through the farmer's eyes, talking about ecology and food and organic practices. And it has really become kind of a well-being green lifestyle show. We've covered topics from food to solar energy to eco-travel, yoga, listening, really everything of what makes it a more conscious life, perhaps a life more worth living. So thank you, our listeners. Thank you, my co-hosts and the team here for 200 hours of An Organic Conversation on the air. And Sita, you brought something else in the studio today.
I did. Has anybody heard about this new information about the Mediterranean diet's benefits in preventing
or helping to prevent
heart disease? Well, it's interesting because the Mediterranean diet has been a topic of conversation for many years, but they had never done a comprehensive study to see whether or not a diet that's rich in olive oil and nuts and seeds and lots of fresh fruits and vegetables really had measurable, you know, effect on health, particularly cardiovascular health. And so they did this study and they just got the results this last week. And they actually stopped the study early because they felt like the results were so conclusive. They stopped it after 5 years. And what they found was that if you're eating 4 tablespoons of olive oil a day, lots of nuts and seeds, legumes, tons of fruits and vegetables, some fish, maybe red meat also, and wine, that you are going to have a lower risk of heart disease in the end.
Sounds like the Italian diet.
Yeah, or the Greek diet.
Exactly.
Oh, you mean Mediterranean.
Yes, exactly.
Weren't they trying to also have a study of like this diet versus low fat or something like that?
Well, yeah, that's a good point. The control diet was supposed to be a low-fat diet to see if the Mediterranean diet had more benefit than eating a low-fat diet. And what was really interesting was that the group that was supposed to eat the low-fat diet didn't have success at actually reducing their fat intake significantly. So that's one of the things that they showed them. I mean, ultimately, the study ended up being the Mediterranean diet versus the standard American diet. But it's a good thing for us to know that if we think we're cutting back on fat or calories, we may not actually be doing it. Mm-hmm. Because even if you're thinking about it, there's a lot of work that goes into that.
Well, also interesting that you compare a diet with real foods compared to the standard American diet, which is highly processed,
exactly,
high sugar, high fat food. I would argue to say that almost every diet around the world would do better compared to the standard American diet, really, unfortunately. I don't know exactly what they tested there, but if it's really the standard American diet, that is pretty often as poorly as you can, you know, nourish yourself. There were some critics, though, on the findings, Mediterranean diet.
Well, yeah, because there are a lot of people who are advocating, doctors who are advocating for a low-fat diet. And we've actually had some shows on that. We did Forks Over Knives this past summer. We did the Engine 2 diet. Dr. Dean Ornish, Dr. Caldwell Esselstein, these are people who say that you can have much, much lower risk of heart disease and other diseases if you eat a very low-fat diet. So I think, you know, you've got to look at, you've got to, Mark, you, I don't want to take away what you had to say because I thought it was a really good observation.
Well, so here's the thing is our relationship with fat is either most of my life and most of the research that I've done on it is that people either are afraid of it, right, because of whatever they hear, or they thoroughly enjoy it. And there is a happy medium in there because like avocados and nuts and some of these things.
Food-based oils. Yeah,
food-based exactly. Oils would be considered high in fat, but you eat them in moderation. And the oils that are in avocados are monounsaturated and very good for you. And fat has been shown to be good for your brain, especially in whole food fats that are can actually help you get more nutrients for your brain and your body.
That's a great point, Mark. When I see those studies, yes, this one type of diet might reduce your risk of heart disease, but it doesn't really test what it would do to the rest of your body. And yes, fats and brains, I would always say, if in doubt, go with whole food, stick with nature. There's a reason why avocado the way they are and delicious. And stick with nature and stick with whole foods and stick with an organic conversation. That's my take on all this.
Well, and what I get from it is eat more produce.
Yes, always. Always. It doesn't even matter what we discuss. Yeah.
How's the weather today? Eat more produce.
Right. Yeah, great. Green energies, and eat more produce. See, that's the ultimate green energy. You're listening to an organic conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sita Rani Palomar.
Produce god Mark Mulcahy, needless to say. And today we are talking about the international organic industry, what's happening, the challenges and the opportunities, emerging trends, organic around the globe, that and more when we come back. Stay tuned.
SPUD stands for Sustainable Produce Urban Delivery. SPUD delivers the highest quality organic produce and the best locally sourced grocery items one can find directly to your doorstep. It's easy, it's convenient, and it supports your local economy. On every delivery day, SPUD takes at least 100 cars off the road that would have otherwise been driving to the grocery store. Reduce your carbon footprint, save time, and save money when grocery shopping with SPUD. Place your order today at spud.com. That's SPUD.com.
Are you a chef, have a catering business, or planning a party, or simply just love organic produce? If you're in the San Francisco Bay Area, walk right in to Earl's Organic Produce. Anyone can buy directly from us at wholesale prices. You don't have to be a natural food store to enjoy the freshest and most delicious organic produce. We are located on the San Francisco Produce Market at 2101 Gerald Avenue. We look forward to seeing you.
Walk-in hours are Monday through Friday throughout the night from 10 p.m. to 10 a.m. Minimum purchase is one box or flat, cash or checks only. For more information, visit earlsorganic.com.
Frey Vineyards is America's first organic winery, family-owned and operated since 1980. Dedicated to the highest levels of organic and biodynamic farming, Frey never adds synthetic sulfites or other preservatives to their wines. Frey organic and biodynamic wines include delicious Cabernet Sauvignon, Zinfandel, Syrah, Chardonnay, and Sauvignon Blanc. Frey Vineyards Mendocino County award-winning wines without added sulfites. Available at grocery stores and online at freywine.com. That's FREYWINE.com.
Yes, wird morgen. Der Zug rollt an. Ich spring auf und fahr davon. Und vermiss dich nach Minuten schon.
And we're back here to an organic conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sita Rani Palomar.
Our topic today is emerging trends, organic around the globe. We had the pleasure to attend Biofach, the largest organic food show in the world, in Nuremberg, Germany, a couple of weeks back, and we will take a look at the state of organic around the world through the lens of Biofach today on this show. But as always, we are starting the show off with our weekly tip from the world of health and beauty. Here's Chef Sita and her holistic bite.
Thank you, Helga. Well, the holistic bite is, as Helga said, my look at the world of health and beauty and organically in both. And, you know, we're talking this week about Biofach, which is the largest organic food conference in the world. And there was a parallel show happening at Biofach this year that was called Vivinus, and it was an all natural and organic beauty and skincare fair, which was really exciting for me to take a peek behind what is happening as far as trends in the world for healthy products, because I really do believe that the health of the individual isn't just about what you put in your body, but what you put on your body, because our skin is our largest organ. It absorbs a lot of what we put on it. And so what you put on your skin is pretty much like what you eat. So you want to make sure it's the best quality. However, there aren't major standards yet for these organic and natural products, right? There are a lot of people who are trying to create a standard, but it's not like the USDA standard we have for organic food. So while I was at this fair, I was looking at all kinds of organic lotions, body scrubs, essential oil perfumes, and home fragrances. Of course, there were cosmetics, there were feminine products, men's line of skincare, spa ingredients, and even therapeutic grade ingredients for acupuncture and massage therapy. And it prompted me to ask whether or not the organic beauty marketplace abroad is further along than the US marketplace for skincare and cosmetics. And I'm in a really fortunate time right now because we are coming up on one of the largest organic and natural conferences in the United States. That's Expo West. It's happening this weekend. There's going to be a huge booth of American-made products in the skincare and cosmetic industry. So I can really get a side-by-side comparison about what are we doing to make sure that what we put on our skin is as good as what we put in our bodies. And so while I was over in Germany at this fair doing my research on the companies and standards that came from all over the world, I learned about an EU nonprofit standard called Natrum. The thing that's neat about this is it's actually distinguishing natural cosmetics from organic cosmetics by rating them with a star system. And so they'll give a star to a cosmetic or a skincare product that has 15% organic ingredients from the agriculture ingredients in the product. That also means, though, that there are some things that are not agriculturally certifiable as organic, so those don't count. But they have a very slim margin of what they consider their quote-unquote acceptable synthetics. So you can get one star if you have 15% organic ingredients, you can get 2 stars if you have 70% organic ingredients, and you can get 3 stars if you have 95% organic ingredients. And this really excites me because of all of these reasons why I think it's so important that we're looking crucially at the things that we consume in our lifestyle, that they're meeting the same standards for what we eat. So I look forward to, in my next week's Holistic Bite, coming and talking about what is the standard that's being followed and offered to us as consumers in the United States, and do a comparison so that we can be educated consumers and enjoy beautiful health. And that's this week's Holistic Bite.
And yes, thank you so much, Sita, for that weekly update of what's going on in the world of fashion, beauty, and body care. And interesting to note that organic food, of course, here in the United States is regulated under the United States Department of Agriculture. Body care and cosmetics, as you just said, are not. So interesting to see that the European approach to that is to basically rate them the way food is rated here. There can be foods made with organic ingredients, 75% minimum. There are foods that are considered organic, even though they only contain 95% ingredients organic, and then there's 100% organic. So you have this 1-star, 2-star, 3 mm-hmm. star, just as with food here in the U.S., trying to, you know, ratify basically or make it more approachable perhaps to enter each other's markets, European products into the U.S. marketplace and vice versa. But there's no governmental standard for skincare and body care. And
weren't you, when I was talking to you earlier, weren't you saying that like Ecobella has very similar standards to a lot of the companies in Europe that you're
well,
seeing?
Well, they do, actually. That's something that I find really encouraging is that
one of our partners, yes, the one we work with.
Yeah, Ecobella, they're a natural and organic cosmetic and skincare company.
Mm-hmm. As an example,
she has her own standards, right? Because she believes in the same thing. So the ingredients in there, products, all of the agricultural ingredients that they can get certified organic, they get certified organic. And they don't consider water one of the ingredients. In fact, Ecobella doesn't put water in their products for that reason. So, and also because water can evaporate and then you lose more moisture. That's in another holistic bite. But their product is every bit as good as these internationally recognized brands like Hauschka and Veleda. So it's good to know that what's happening here in America.
Yeah, often you hear, you know, Europe has such a higher standard. It's not true. There are differences in the rules when it comes to food. There are differences in the approaches when it comes to non-food items. But overall, we absolutely have products and companies here in the United States that can meet up to that. And we'll talk about more of that during the show.
Yeah, exactly. Because I do think that there is a lot of progressive movement happening over in Europe that is kind of setting the trend for what's going to happen here. And one of them is maybe the star rate system. But just like with your food, and you want to know your grower, you want to know your company owner, right? You want to get into that philosophy and know that their own standards are as high as yours. And then you can still make sure you're getting a product that's organic, even if it can't say organic on the label.
Well, which intrigues me, did you try any Mist on toners from different companies.
Your favorite product.
Yes, the Mist on toner. Because as always, the Holistic Bite is brought to you by the natural beauty company Ecobella. Ecobella offers a wonderful line of body care products and intelligent cosmetics. And of course, all of Ecobella's products are preservative-free, gluten-free, and cruelty-free. Check it out, ecobella.com. Let us know what you think. That's Ecobella.
And if you're interested in trying Ecobella, make sure when you check out to put in code AOC to get free shipping on your order.
That's right, AOC for an organic conversation. So yes, last week we had a fantastic show on youth activism, the story of two girls that are changing the world and are challenging the Girl Scouts of America, among many other companies and institutions, to revisit their practices and hopefully change their harmful ingredients in the food they are selling. Amazing story. And if you missed it, you can go to anorganicconversation.com or iTunes and listen to it as a podcast, as well as all the other shows that we've done, 200 at this point. And in a way, it's about ingredients again today. Seems like the show is about the ingredients of life every week. Anyway, actually, our topic today is emerging trends, organic around the globe. We attended Biofach, the largest organic food show in the world in Nuremberg, Germany, a couple of weeks back. It's an all-organic trade show and conference. There are actually no so-called natural products at all. It's all organic. With some 42,000 visitors and 2,400 exhibitors from 129 countries. Out of 196 countries around the world. So the vast majority of countries on this planet was actually represented at Biofach. And it makes it a very unusual and fun trade show.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, we've already been kind of jumping into this. I mean, we've already let the cat or the dog out of the bag early in the show.
But dog, really.
Yeah. Well, it all depends. And so here's what, you know, Helga, you and I have been doing this a long time. We've been to shows in Italy. We've been to shows in England. We've been to shows on both coasts of the United States. Now, I've never been to Biofach. But so what I want to know is, how does this show differ from, you know, the other shows that we've been to before?
Well, it's an amazing conglomerate of countries. You can really feel that international place. And Nuremberg in the southern part of Germany is surrounded by, you know, a dozen or so countries within an hour of driving or a couple hours. There's the Netherlands, France, Portugal, Spain, Switzerland, Austria. You can almost walk to Austria from there. Italy, Poland. Then it opens up to Croatia, Hungary, the Czech Republic. You could take your bicycle from Nuremberg, from Germany, and hop over the Bosporus, the little, you know, waterway there at Istanbul in Turkey, and you would take your bike from Germany to India.
Mm-hmm.
That's totally possible.
So that would have been the way I would have
went. Way, yes, I know. Yeah, I want to see that. I think it takes a couple of weeks. No, my point is that even though Europe is, you know, this specific group of countries, being at that show really, truly felt like a true international conference and get together. unlike, you know, Expo West this weekend that we are heading down to after the show, and where you have mainly American companies and then, you know, several dozen maybe companies from other countries. But this was a truly international show.
And, so give us an idea of the scope of, you know, how many people attended, how many countries, all that type of stuff.
Well, we got the statistics back after we went, and they said that there were 40,000 visitors from 129 countries.
129 countries? How many countries are in the world?
196. Yes.
Wow.
So, and I believe 160 or so are involved in organic production, organic agriculture. That means that out of 160 who are involved in organic, 129, 130 were there. So that basically, almost every country that does organic was represented.
And that, Mark, I think, is one of the things that's so different. And I've not yet been to Expo West, which I'm very excited to go. I've heard about it from so many of the people who I've worked with over the years in the holistic food and holistic nutrition industry. But I also have heard that Expo West, it's not an exclusively organic show. It's a natural show for mm-hmm. sure. But because we don't have standards for what natural means, there is a certain amount of differentiation that when you go, you're almost asking yourself, okay, to what degree is this an organic product? Is it not organic, but it doesn't use sugar?
Right.
Or is it made with some organic ingredients, but it's not organic certified? Mm. Or is mm-hmm. it an organic product? You don't actually have that question at the BioFach conference because that's a precursor. You have to be organic to come to that
conference.
You walk
in and everything is organic. Whatever you touch, whatever you see. That's wonderful. That makes it really unprecedented as far as I've ever been to a food show.
Well, and speaking of organic, so how does the market there differ from the market here? I mean, are they higher in sales than us? Are they lower in sales? Or, you know, where is the market there?
Yeah, most countries throughout Europe and outside of Europe, meaning Africa and India, actually for Africa, the European market is the largest market to sell into. So it's interesting, even though, you know, I think in population, you can almost compare the US with Europe. But it's twice as much the organic market size. In the US, we are at
twice as much?
Yeah, we are about $30 billion of the organic marketplace here in the US. In Europe, it's about $60 billion. So the level of awareness, even when you go outside the conference, when you go to stores, there are supermarket chains equal to Whole Foods, but all they feature is organic. You don't get one natural product. So there's a certain separation between organic and everything else. It doesn't make it into the store that has some organic items. There are stores that have some organic items and some natural and some non-organic, but the stores that are dedicated to this movement and that are dedicated to organic only feature organic.
Wow. And,
it's such really a comfort, actually. Experience. It's such a comfort because if you need something and you go to this store, if they have it, you know it's an organic product. Whereas lately, you know, I've been visiting natural food stores and they have ingredients that have corn syrup in it. And for me, it doesn't say that it's organic. It doesn't say that it's non-GMO certified and it has corn syrup. I'm left to think this is probably a GMO ingredient at my natural food store. And I kid you not, last night I had a dream where I was running around the grocery store trying to find an organic ingredient.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in this case, I think it's fair to say that we found that item at Whole Foods. And it's quite disappointing. I actually think, mental note to self, Kristen, our associate producer, we would love to invite Whole Foods to just explain how they ensure that ingredients in their prepared foods are not coming from a GMO source. Because that was concerning, seeing not high fructose, but seeing corn syrup as an ingredient, most likely from a GMO source, or very likely. That's concerning because we all, you know, we shop at places, at natural food stores, because there's a certain trust that we know if we spend a little bit more of our budget on good food, we can expect a certain level of commitment back. And I think that would be interesting to really look at and give the opportunity for the largest Whole Foods store, the largest natural food store in the country, to explain exactly what's in place to ensure consumer confidence. But you don't have that in Germany, and you don't need that. It's actually funny. You don't need to read the ingredients, really. Mm-hmm. you just walk in and you know everything's organic.
Well, and there's stores like that in this country for sure. I work with lots of them.
Sure.
But so when you're...
You mean stores that are completely committed. They check everything.
Yeah, they're committed to organic. Absolutely. They're committed to the products and things like that.
Well, and Mark, before you hop into that next question that you're going to ask, I want to tag on to this because for me, and this is exactly why I created the Holistic Bite to be about health and beauty, because I'm a woman who consumes a lot of beauty products and lotions and cosmetics and all kinds of things. At these all organic markets, the ones that I've seen in Europe and the ones that you're talking about that you work with here in the United States, they also have a very vibrant body section. And so I can go in, there are fewer products for me to have to sort through, and I can trust that they're doing a pretty rigorous screening process about what's going in there. Like these small stores that I've gone into in Europe, it's a small produce department, a small amount of like glass jars of, you know, prepared food, various, you know, other packaged but not junk food, and then your bath products. And it's all there and it's all organic, and you just feel like you have less to wade through.
And everything, you know, is European. Everyone who has been to Europe once knows what I'm talking about. Everything is a little bit smaller. The halls don't hold, you know, 50,000 people. They hold maybe 15,000 people or, you know, a few thousand people. It's everything is a little slower, a little bit nicer, a little bit more, I think, less rushed, a little bit friendlier. It just felt great after a full day at some shows here in the US. I'm exhausted and, you know, spent all day on the show floor and felt fine. So there's just a personal interaction. And we can talk about the appreciation of seeing American media at that show in Germany in a minute. But yeah, really beautiful gathering there. Our topic today is emerging trends, organic around the world, seeing the world of organic food production and products through the lens of Biofach, the largest organic food show in the world that was held in Nuremberg, Germany, a couple of weeks back. You're listening to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sita Rani Palomar.
And we'll be right back with more. Stay tuned.
At Eden Foods, we've always strived to have a strong, positive impact on farming practices and food processing techniques. As the oldest natural and organic food company in North America, our business practices and products endeavor to contribute to a peaceful evolution on Earth. We encourage everyone to be knowledgeable, discerning, and proactively involve buyers, as we are. Look for organic grains, beans, beverages, and more by Eden Foods at your local co-ops, natural food stores, and online at edenfoods.com.
Are you interested in making healthy food your profession? Bowman College is a leader in the field of holistic nutrition and culinary arts. Their professional training programs prepare individuals for successful careers as nutrition consultants and natural chefs. Study at one of four locations in California and Colorado, or learn from home in a self-paced mentor distance learning program. Find out more about their classes on holistic nutrition and culinary arts at BowmanCollege.org. That's B-A-U-M-A-N College.org.
Are you committed to green, socially responsible, and sustainable business practices? Percepticon can help with eco-friendly internet solutions, website design services, e-commerce solutions, mobile apps, and high-performance internet hosting for your business. Percepticon is a full-service agency that specializes in web consulting, strategy, and technology development, so you can successfully communicate with your audience. Lighten your tech footprint in a green hosting environment. Call Percepticon today at 925-937-9000 or visit them at Percepticon.com.
When we dance, you have a way with me. Stay with me, swear with me. He querido volver a vivir la pasión y el calor de otro amor, de un amor que me hiciera sentir, que me hiciera feliz. I can hear the sounds of violins.
We are back here to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sita Rani Palomar.
And we're traveling around the world today. Emerging trends, organic around the globe, the organic food world through the lens of Biofach, the largest organic food show in the world, held in Nuremberg, Germany a couple of weeks back, really looking at the emerging trends that are happening in both markets, in the US and in Europe in this case, looking at what's coming either way, actually, in both directions. And yes, 129 countries are represented at Biofach every year out of about 160 around the world that are involved in organic food production and products. So it's almost every country that is involved in organic production is at Biofach. Very special show. And Sita, you picked up some emerging organic trends that were really surprising and wonderful.
I did, yes. One of the things that was exciting for me is that, you know, when you live in your place and then you travel to another place, you can get organic at your home because you know you're organic at your destination. But there's this no man's land between your house and your destination where you may not be able to get an organic product. So whether that's the plane, the train, the gas station, there are all of these places where we consume lots of little things that we're just taking for the commercial market because that's how you get them. So a really great example is coffee creamer. The very first thing I saw when I walked into Biofach was this company that makes, you know, those individual packets of coffee creamer that you get at the diner or at the gas station?
Yeah, it's quarter like a size, tablespoon. Little mm-hmm. tiny, exactly.
Exactly.
One serving, never enough.
Yeah, you need that like one. Four of them. He had organic coffee creamer packages like that. And I was really excited. Whether you eat or whether you add coffee or cream, whether you add cream to your coffee or not, for me, what's exciting about this is something that we in America consume in mass. And he was telling me that there's...
I mean, millions a day, I'm sure.
Millions a day. And he said that 100 million, which may sound like a lot, but when you think of the quantity of these that we use, 100 million of these coffee creamer cups would allow one farmer to go organic.
For the entire year, yeah.
For the entire year. It supports their organic production. And I was just thrilled to see these are the places that are going to allow organic to get a larger part of our agriculture.
Yes, and I was wondering, of course, in the spirit of reducing packaging, what they were made of. And he was looking at a cornstarch that would actually non-GMO, that would not break down over time. But I think those sampled there were still, unfortunately, recyclable plastic. But the idea of making organic, it just shows the opportunity of volume if it comes hand in hand with waste reduction, of course, or with that awareness. But this is an organic movement that is at 4%. Where are we? 5% at the most, right?
Well, if you're talking about grocery stuff, the total organic sales is like 4 or 5%. But groceries up to about 12 now.
Oh, nice.
That's great.
Yeah. Groceries up to about 12 and produce is about,
about
14%. Yeah.
Produce. See?
Of course. It's the gateway to everything. Well, the thing that it is, I've never even considered that. And I mean, I travel all the time mm-hmm. and everywhere you go, if you buy a sandwich in the airport or you buy something, there's a ketchup packet, a mayonnaise
exactly.
packet, a mustard packet or coffee cream or whatever like that. And wow, all that stuff.
Every cafeteria, every public transportation, yeah. right? Train, airplane. I mean, yeah, everything that where people just move through, I would say at large, 99% is still not organic, of course. So just having, it started a couple of years back when all of a sudden food serving companies, cafeterias could buy, organic butter in 20-pound jars or, the food service industry was really well catered to. And that's, I think, pretty much established. If you have a food service industry business and you want to buy large quantities of organic in packaging that is, adequate and right for that kind of size and amount and volume, you can do that now. But when it comes to the end consumer, if it's not a dispenser, there's still that gap that is not happening in organic. So this was fun to see.
Sounds like it is.
Yeah. And with that, of course, we, traveling with trains and in Europe, even the trains now in Europe had organic items on the menu. In this case, it was mushrooms, which Sita pointed out that they are still contaminated with radiation from Chernobyl, which is, three decades back. So you're not allowed to pick wild mushrooms and just serve them. But interestingly enough, as a choice, even outside the fair, the conference, the awareness of organic is at least at the level it is here in the U.S., maybe more so, because, you can take the German train system and you find organic options on the inner train, restaurant menu.
Yeah, one of the other organic... It was fascinating. It was very exciting. One of the other things that came up for me as an exciting way to consume organic is convenience sauces, right? There's this whole idea now about being a gourmet chef at home and being able to cook things quickly. And so we have all these sauces in the aisle that we can make tikka masala and we can make, you know, whatever, curries, Thai curries. There was a company, they're in the UK right now. I don't think they're yet in the US. He told me they weren't yet in the US, but they're in the UK. They're called Biona. And they have these, what they call organic pastes for their easy chef line. And it's something from like a smoked garlic to a wasabi horseradish sauce to a Thai curry sauce to a red chili sauce, whatever. So exciting because these are organic, they're convenient, they encourage you to do more cooking at home. And for me, these are the places, again, that are going to allow us to eat more organic and have a larger share of the marketplace because these are the things that people consume in mass.
Yeah, Mark.
Well, it'll be interesting when we go to Expo together, because all of us are going, mm-hmm. and this is your first show, Sita, is to see if there's similar type of products there.
That's right.
How it's translating here mm-hmm. to this market. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And funny that I'm pointing out a non-food item, Sita, but in that fair that was going on parallel for body care and skin care, was it there? There was a booth that had essential oils, really nice products that were food grade. So you could actually use it as a diffuser. You can use it in drinks.
That was really exciting. They're called Baldini, and they're hoping to come to the United States. The thing that I like the most about this is, as a chef, especially as a chef educator, I had so many students want to put like lavender oil in their shortbread or something. They wanted to put essential oils in their food because it's very fancy. You know, it's like showing your creative side. And
drinks, right?
They had
a non-alcoholic mixed drink there where you could add champagne to it or whatever, but just with some essential oils. And because they were food grade, it was fine to put into your food.
Yes, because that was the issue. Whenever I've seen, especially, you know, not professional chefs yet, trying to put essential oils in their food, they're not finding food grade essential oils. And so there's a little bit of a concern. It's like, is there any adverse side effect of consuming an essential oil? So this is really exciting. They've got lots of great recipes and they have, I don't know, 20 different essential oils.
What was the company again? Check
Baldini.
Yeah, Baldini.
And they actually, I mean, they know what they're doing. They've been in this business for a long time. Their other brand is called Tau Oasis, and they're providing organic essential oils for therapeutic spa use, acupuncture, that kind of thing. So then they saw this gateway to turn it into the culinary world.
And it's nice, you know,
world.
I mean, whatever we put in our skin, largest organ, gets absorbed. There are aisles and aisles of essential oils. This was the first one that I've ever seen or found that was actually edible, or not just edible, but food grade, like completely fine to eat and good for you, therapeutic to eat.
And that's intriguing. I have Rose Absolute oil that I smell every day, and I've never even thought about it being food grade, or could I drink it, or could I eat it, or something like that, even though it's made from rose petals, right?
Right.
So yeah. I have to check that out.
Helga, was there anything else that really stuck out for you as far as an exciting thing you would like to see come to the States?
Well, in regard to products, yeah, of course, there's Irish cream.
Oh my gosh.
There's an Irish cream now, and they're trying to ratify the standards because there are different livestock standards in the U.S. for organic than there are in Europe for organic. And so companies working, you know, with those standards, looking at what's possible, that want to come to either marketplace. Really, as a summary for me, It's wonderful to see 130 countries represented, to see that organic growing is going on from Madagascar that grows organic vanilla to India to several countries in Africa, all over Europe, all the way to Scandinavia. Beautiful. It's a beautiful movement of committed people. You can find every ingredient from any country, anywhere, organically now. And there was an entire hall dedicated to people that sell ingredients. So if you have the idea of creating a food company, it's all available. And what it does in those countries, actually, because it goes hand in hand with fair trade and with, you know, more fair use of land and no pesticides, of course. And what it does is, even if you buy a product, I'm the greatest advocate for local, and yet if you buy a product that has ingredients from Morocco, you are supporting the organic movement in Morocco, in that country. And that really came through for me. It was just beautiful to see. This is a movement that is worldwide. This is a movement that we can support wherever we are. And yes, let's buy local what we can buy local, but also know that if you buy a product that you really love, whether or not it's available here, but that has ingredients from all around the world, you're actually creating hope in those countries all around the world with your purchase here. That was really amazing. You're listening to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Helberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sitarani Palomar.
And that was our little review from Emerging Trends Organic Around the Globe from Biofach, the largest organic food show in the world, held every February in Nuremberg, Germany, just a couple of weeks back. And what's coming up is What's in Season, the review of the world of produce with our very own Mark Mulcahy. Stay tuned.
Produce is ever-changing, seasons coming and going. At Earls Organic, we have been sourcing solely organic produce for over 20 years. Since 1988, Earls Organic Produce has been establishing strong relationships with growers and developing a deep understanding of the seasons, so you can offer the most delicious organic produce to your customers, staff, and clients year-round. For organic produce, visit Earls Organic Produce at earlsorganic.com. That's earlsorganic.com.
Hi, my name is Peter Van Stolk, and I'm the CEO of Spud.com. Spud was founded on the belief that fresh, organic foods should be made easily accessible to everyone. Spud stands for Sustainable Produce Urban Delivery, and we do just that, delivering 100% organic produce and high-quality grocery items to homes and offices throughout the San Francisco Bay Area, Los Angeles, Seattle, and British Columbia. Visit us at Spud.com.
The Farmer Veteran Coalition is a nonprofit organization dedicated to provide veterans with resources, education, and technical assistance to prepare them to become successful farmers. After serving their country, many veterans are interested in working with the land but do not have a background in farming or ranching. Help the Farmer Veteran Coalition to assist veterans in starting a new career in sustainable agriculture. For more information, please visit farmvetco.org. That's farmvetco.org.
You're listening to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Helberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sitarani Palomar.
And we hope you enjoyed our little Emerging Trends Organic Around the World view in this 200th episode. And what a pleasure it is. It's the 200th episode of An Organic Conversation today. And I'm not sure if it's the 200th time of What's in Season. I think it started a few weeks later, a couple months later with Mark. But Mark, he's our very own produce expert, Mark Mulcahy, with What's in Season.
So what's in season right now, here in the beginning of the almost springtime, is surprises. Now, I am a person, as you know, who walks produce departments, farmers markets every week, every, you know, of my life. And I was in Bellingham, Washington last week, and I got surprised. And you know how, like, sometimes you meet that person on the plane you weren't expecting to meet, or you get that unexpected text that just makes you smile? Well, I was in a produce department, and I said, "What do you got that's just going to wow my socks off?" And the guy goes, "You are not even going to believe this." And he goes, "I've got a Yosemite Gold Mandarin Orange." And I said, "What?" And he says, "I've got a Yosemite Gold Mandarin Orange. I've got one box. That's all I could get."
And he was teasing you, of course.
And I'm just going, I ran into another Earl, right? Kind of an Earl type of guy.
Earl up and coming.
Yeah. And so anyway, so I said, let's try them.
Yeah.
And so I tasted one, and it was rich and deep and sunshiny and sweet and drippy. And so I called up Earl and I said, Earl, have you tried these? And so that's why when we've got Earl on the air today, Earl Herrick from Earl's Organic Produce, the voice of the San Francisco produce market. And Earl, are you familiar with this surprise that I'm talking about?
Yeah, good morning, everybody.
Hey, good
Hello,
morning.
Hello, Earl.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if you're going to leave anything else for me to talk about, Mark. I think it's pretty well chronicled my love for mandarins. And, you know,
I read that book. It was a great book by you, Earl.
Great read.
The Yosemite. The Yosemite Gold is right up there with the Satsuma in so many ways. It comes later in the year. You know, where a Satsuma is kind of November through January. This one fills in that next time period, January maybe into April, and it is outstanding. It's a pretty large piece of fruit as a mandarin goes, about 3 inches, and it's kind of flat. It's got a really beautiful exterior and interior, deep orange. Very sweet, pretty darn juicy. It's heavy for its size. It was developed down in UC Riverside, their citrus program, and they released it in 2002. So the production is now just getting going. We were able to get some out of the Southern California San Diego district, and we were limited to 9, 10, 20 boxes at a time. And we can't get enough of them.
Earl, you can eat 20 boxes on your own, right?
Earl, how do
If I drive to Oakland, I will. Yeah.
Earl, how do they develop a new piece of fruit? This is fascinating. We are talking about organic cultivation, organic crossbreeding. How long does it take? What do they do in order to create a Yosemite mandarin?
Well, they take different root stocks and different cuttings from different hybrids or different. For this one's kind of a Dancy with an Encore with another variety. And
Temple.
UC Riverside is really very well known, and this is a place everybody should go to at some point. And that's what they do, specialize in citrus hybrids and cultivations. And it's a real process of doing that those cuttings and rootstock cuts. And then you have a couple of years before you get a product that is worth eating.
Because it needs to be stable, right? It needs to be. I mean, they need to make sure that if they sell the seed or the rootstock, that it continues to grow just that plant over and over again. Otherwise, commercially, you can't invest a few acres and then, you know, have it go astray.
Precisely. You know, I don't begin to know everything involved, but it's something that, for us, we think that whole mandarin varietal citrus class is very exciting. There's lots of new product out there. You know, we could talk about mandarins, and we have for a long, long time. And what's great when it comes out this time of year, you know, it's a time of year that really needs something, you know, jazzy again. So it's something worthwhile looking for.
And so that's a Yosemite mandarin. What else? And talking about the quantity, it's the tiny harvest still. Mark and Earl, what have you seen that's coming into the marketplace that's new? Is that the biggest item right now, or are there other crossbreeds that are being worked on that you have tasted?
Well, you know, Mark, you've probably seen the Gold Nugget.
Uh-huh.
You know, the Gold Nugget mandarin.
And the Sumos.
Yep. Of course, there's, you know, the Novas. There's lots of different varieties, and there are different levels of production depending upon where your farm is, what your soil condition's going to do, and how much time you're gonna devote to it. Because every geographical area, not unlike much fruit, is defined by its soil and climate.
Well, and also it takes 5 to 7 years for a fruit tree like this to fully be bearing and producing enough fruit.
Nice. And so flavor-wise, these are all comparable and grown for flavor, not just for storage and shipping. The flavor both of you are saying is exceptional, right?
Yeah, what I like about this piece of fruit is that it can hang on a tree for quite a while, and which allows it to get sweeter and actually easier to peel the longer it holds. So that's a main thing, that it holds on the tree, so growers don't have to be too concerned about getting it off the tree quickly. So, you know, this bears for really good production to come. You know, there is an interesting thing that I found out. The tree is about a 15, 18-foot mature tree with large leaves and has a good canopy. Mm. And that canopy serves to protect the fruit from getting sunburned.
Yeah, that's where it has that deep orange color on the outside. Yep. And this is fascinating that, you know, being produce geeks, Earl, you and I mean, you and I could talk about for about 3 hours on this, and then our listeners would all leave. But
I don't know. No. I don't know about that.
But so, Earl, thank you so much for that.
Fascinating.
It's really great. You know, I know that they have limited availability throughout the United States because they just aren't producing enough. But if you can find them, I would definitely recommend that you... Like any surprise, that you just take a chance on them, and that you, when you get to the store, if you see some of these, stick your nose down in that box and just inhale that scent that will just fill your nose with amazing, well, it'll take your mind somewhere else is what it will do, and then peel away the layers of the skin and just take a big fat bite of one of those dudes. And I tell you what, you will wait for these every spring. That's
wonderful.
What
it'll be a great reward.
Yes, a great reward.
Wow, we'll look for them. Thank you so much, Earl.
Yes.
That's Earl Herrick, of course, the voice of the market. And whoever that wannabe Earl was, thank you for suggesting that to you, Mark, because that's made it into the produce tip of the week. That's
produce
fantastic.
Tip of the week.
Mm-hmm. And thank you, Mark, for
Yosemite,
bringing us the produce
Yosemite
tip
Mandarin.
Of the week.
Cool.
So, Helga, do we have time for an organic moment?
Yeah, we are almost out of time, but... I have an organic moment, and it is about Biofach today. Walking the aisles at this largest and most internationally representative organic trade show made me realize that, you know, we do have a responsibility in this movement here in the U.S. When it comes to hunger, I often say that the U.S. does not have to feed the world. We need to support every effort to make sure the world can feed itself. And I'm not speaking of food donations in times of immediate crisis. Of course, those are necessary. I'm speaking of the parallel programs and efforts to ensure that over the course of a handful of years, a region becomes enabled and empowered to create their own food system. However fledgling that may be at first, only this will create long-term sustainable hunger relief, economic autonomy, health, economic opportunities, and peace. So, back to Biofach, which truly represents the organic world of Europe, Africa, India, and the Middle East in an European organic market that is twice as big as the U.S. market for organic. Our presence there as U.S. media representatives was so welcomed and so appreciated that it felt like mutual honoring of countries and continents combined in the spirit of the world, of the worldwide organic movement. I left feeling that maybe, just maybe, we do have to feed the world after all. Actually, that we all have to feed one another, not necessarily with food, but certainly with honor and hope.
Thanks, Helga. What a great organic moment.
Yes, and it's a good ending to the 200th episode. Thank you guys again. 200 shows, 200 hours of an organic conversation. All available at anorganicconversation.com or iTunes.com if you missed any of the 200. Ha! And we don't expect there are many that you missed, but if you did, you can find them at podcasts on our website. 200 hours. Thank you, guys.
Hear, hear.
To the next 200. Mm-hmm.
And that was this week's edition of An Organic Conversation. Thanks for listening.
An Organic Conversation is a proud production of the Organic Media Network. Associate producer, Kristen Ponger. Studio engineer, Robert Costa. Underwriting production, Mark Van Gelder. Thank you all.
If you missed parts of this show or for any other episode, go to iTunes or anorganicconversation.com.
And you can follow us on Facebook. That's facebook.com/anorganicconversation.
We're your hosts, Helga Helberg,
Mark Mulcahy,
and Sita Rani Palomar.
And we'll be back right here, same place, same time next week. See you then.
Bye.
Bye-bye.